Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's good to see all of you here tonight. It's good to have this opportunity. You know, you just never know how many opportunities you're going to have to come together with God's people, to sing His praises, to worship the Lord. That's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
And to study His Word. Praise the Lord. So it is wonderful to be here tonight. And before we do anything tonight, I'm going to go ahead and pray. We're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night, thanking Thee for Thy goodness towards us. Thanking Thee that Thou hast brought us here tonight so that we can come together and worship Thee and sing unto Thee and give Thee our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that Thou wast preside over this entire service. I pray that Thy Spirit would be here. I pray that Thy Holy Ghost would be poured out upon each and every one of us and fill us all with a great desire to know You better. And I pray, Lord, that Thou wast continue to guide and direct us in each and everything we do here tonight. Let Thy perfect will be done, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name, for the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we're going to start with number 83 tonight, From the Rising of the Sun. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord. Son, to the going down thereof. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise the Lord. Oh yes, from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, and every minute in between. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go to number 11 and sing Let's Just Praise the Lord, number 11. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, it's wonderful to know that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we can praise the Lord. Maybe if you're at home, you can praise the Lord. Maybe if you're in the car, you can praise the Lord. You could be out in the field working and you can praise the Lord. Wherever you are, you can praise the Lord. And it is never the wrong time to praise the Lord. When's the right time? Every minute of every day. Praise the Lord. Let's go to number 94 and sing, "Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Whenever I can, I'll praise Him." Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Wherever I am, I'll praise Him. Wherever I can, I'll praise Him. For His love surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. For the name of Jesus lifted me. Glory to God. And that name of Jesus did lift us. And I tell you what, I'll never forget what Jesus has done for us. We should never, ever forget what Jesus has done for us. All of His amazing blessings, His incredible sacrifice, all that He has done. We should never forget what Jesus has done for us. So let's go to number 66 and sing, "Jesus, I'll Never Forget." Jesus, I'll never forget what You've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how You've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how You've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, Jesus, I'll never forget what You've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how You've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how You've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what You've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget how You've set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget how You've brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, no, never. Praise the Lord. Why don't we go to number 68 and sing, He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am. For He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am. The Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Of peace is He, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful. The Prince of Peace is He, the everlasting Father throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. You know, we were singing that chorus and it reminded me of another song. And well, we've sang this one many times and it is such a wonderful song. Actually, it's one of my favorites, as you may have guessed by how often we've sung it. But it's number 178 in the chorus book. His name is wonderful. Number 178. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King. Master of everything, His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages, almighty God. Is He bow down before Him, love and adore Him? His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, Master. Almighty God is. bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. Master of everything, His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages, almighty. His name truly is wonderful. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy blessings towards us. We thank Thee for all that Thou hast given us. We thank Thee for this opportunity to give back to Thee. And I pray, Lord, that Thou wast give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for the sake of Thy name. For we know that these funds belong to Thee. And I pray, Lord, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're also going to go ahead and pray for Diane. She's not here tonight, which is unusual because she's almost always here every Wednesday, but she does have a urinary tract infection and she's on some medication, which apparently has some interesting side effects, so she didn't feel like she could be here tonight, so we're going to pray for her and ask for a touch from the Lord for her tonight. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night on behalf of our dear sister Diane, praying, Lord, that Thou hast reached down from heaven. Let her feel Thy touch. Let her feel Thy feel thy healing virtue flow, Lord, for we know that thou art our healer, our deliverer, our wonder-working God, and that nothing is too hard for thee. And I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst touch her now and let her feel that touch, let her feel that healing power. And I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst continue to be with her, guide and direct her, let thy presence be felt and known in her life, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, with the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we are going to be singing one more song in just a moment, but people were probably wondering if I was going to mention it. As most of you probably know, this is the day 6 years ago when Dad left this world, and we feel sadness about that. It's a huge loss. It really is for us. We miss him so much, and he was so many things to so many people, and we feel that loss every day. But I tell you what, I know that he is in a much better place now, and he is as happy as can be. I guarantee you that. I know that to be true. And I know that he would be thrilled that we're still here, that we're still having these services, that we're still here every Wednesday and every Sunday. And I know he would still be thrilled that we're still baptizing people and continuing that work that was started so long ago. And I'm going to do something I usually don't do on Wednesday night. I'm going to read a few Bible verses. And these verses can be found in Philippians, the first chapter. You know, we those of us who have loved ones who have gone on, we miss them so very much. And, you know, it's not just Dad that we miss. I'm sure you all have loved ones that you miss too. And I sometimes find myself missing my grandma and grandpa. And, was too young to even know my grandma on my dad's side. She died when I was very young. But, you know, we feel this conflict sometimes. And sometimes we feel like we would rather be up there than down here. But God has us here for a reason, and he has a job for all of us to do. And the Apostle Paul in Philippians, he dealt with that very thing. In Philippians, the first chapter, going down to verse 21, it says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." So in other words, what the Apostle Paul is saying, he would rather go and be with Jesus because it's going to be so much better, but at the same time, he doesn't want to go because of his friends, his loved ones, these wonderful Philippian people that he loved so much. And we can all relate to that, I think. And we know that there's this separation we have right now to those who have gone on, but that separation is not forever. And we do feel that conflict in our hearts. You know, I want to go to heaven. I want to see Jesus. I want to see my loved ones who have gone on ahead. But at the same time, I don't want to leave my wife. I don't want to leave my family. But thank God, one day there is going to be a resolution, and there will no longer be that separation. But we do feel that conflict sometimes, just as the Apostle Paul did. But thank the Lord, he is still with us, and we know that we have something wonderful to look forward to be in his presence. And I'll read verse 23 again. "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. For me, by the coming to you again." So, yes, Paul knew he had a job to do, and so do we, and that's why we do this. That's why we carry on this ministry, and I believe that God still has a work for us to do here, and we will continue to do this for as long as we can. And I tell you what, this is my life plan. I don't plan to do anything else. I don't have a backup plan. This is it. So I'm just hoping and praying that the Lord will continue to allow us to do this. And I believe He will. I believe He wants us here. And praise the Lord. Yes, we do miss our loved ones, but we know we will see them again. Praise the Lord. And, a short time after Dad passed, I was listening to some recordings, and I found a recording of him singing a chorus. It's a beautiful chorus, but I don't know that we've ever actually sang it here since he sang it. And I don't know how many times he sang it, but I did find this one recording, and it was such a wonderful chorus. I thought maybe we could sing it here tonight, and it just happens to be number 177. Just want to tell you. So hopefully, if we can remember how this goes, we will sing it. Number 177. Just want to tell you, I'm thankful for all that you have done, for the stars and the moonlight and the setting sun. And when my work on earth is through, I'm coming home, Lord, to be with you. Just want to tell you, I'm thankful, that's all. Just want to tell you, I'm thankful for all that you have done, for the stars and the moonlight and the setting sun. And when my work on earth is through, I'm coming home, Lord, to be with you. Just want to tell you, I'm thankful, that's all. Just want to tell you, I'm thankful for all that you have done, for the stars and the moonlight and the setting sun. And when my work on earth is through, I'm coming home, Lord, to be with you. Just want to tell you, I'm thankful, that's all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is turn it over to Shirley and see what she has to say tonight. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise our Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
We do serve an amazing God. I must say, we really do. And we can't fully understand everything He does. That's for sure at these moments down here on this earth. But I know one thing, we can trust Him. And someday we're going to understand. And it's, you know, we're not going to wonder then. It's all going to make sense. And we're just going to be so happy that the Lord knew how to get us home, how He knew how to orchestrate our lives and turn our paths around and to call us and to lead us and to take us out of all the hot spots that we get into, all the trouble and all the turmoil. I mean, we ourselves, I'm talking about myself, I know how to make a mess of things, you know, if I was just to go on my own and do this and do that, the Lord knows. But praise the Lord, God takes us, He leads us, He guides us, He changes us, and we can trust Him. We can trust Him, and it's true. He knows how to get us home. You know, when this life is over, when our work is done, we get to go home. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. So we're going to pray tonight, and Karen, I'm going to remember you too. I know she's traveling tomorrow, and she doesn't know what's ahead, and all this and that, and I think we should just bring her before the Lord and ask God to be with her mightily and, oh yes, and lead her in all those situations. Open up hearts and all of that. God knows how to do it. And I'm sure she's going to hope that we're going to be praying for her while she's gone. And she's got a pretty big assignment there. She's going to go see her son for one thing, and Lord knows. So, way out there in San Francisco, right? So, oh, praise the Lord. He has interesting assignments for us. That is for sure. Oh, praise our Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Lord, we just thank You that You are here in our midst, Lord Jesus. Oh God, we thank You that You've kept us and You keep talking to us, Lord. You have long suffering and patience with us, Lord. And oh God, so it is that You're not willing that any, oh Lord, should perish, but that they should all come to You, Lord. And God, I ask, oh Lord, that You'd be here tonight, Lord, that You'd bind the strong man in every spirit of opposition, every hindering spirit, every doubt, every fear. Oh God, everything that would come against Thy will and Thy mind, oh Lord, we just come against it in the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord. And we thank You, God, oh Lord, that we can put all things in Thy hands. Oh God, that we can trust Thee, that we know that You will lead us, God, that You will guide us, that You will direct our paths and help us, Lord. Oh Lord, through every detail, through every spot, for oh God, everything that's unknown, oh Lord, for what do we know other than that You are with us, that You know how to make a way for us, oh Lord. And oh God, that we can trust You, that we know that You're coming again. And oh Lord, we know that You have a people. God, I do bring Karen before Thee, Lord. I ask, O Lord, that You'd go with her on her travels. Pray that You guide and lead and direct, that You prepare the hearts that she's going to be ministering to, Lord. I pray that You prepare them, Lord. I pray that You give her wisdom, Lord. I pray that You give her words from You, Lord. Pray that You direct this all, Lord. Oh God, we just give it all to You in Jesus' name, Lord. And asking, oh Lord, that You would work in a special way, Lord. And oh God, that Your will would be done, Lord. Exactly, Lord. According to Thy will and Thy purpose, so Lord, we give all these things to You, Lord Jesus. And praise You, Lord. Oh God, Lord, let there be no deep problems, Lord Jesus, at all, Lord, but that You would give her the wisdom and the answers that she needs for every circumstance, oh Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, by Your mighty hand, oh God, we just give all of this to You, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, if it's Your will, You bring her back here, Lord. Oh God, that You direct all of this, Lord. Who, oh God, whoever You would have her to meet with and be with, Lord. Oh God, direct this, we pray, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Oh Lord, for Thy purpose and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. And oh Lord, be here tonight, Lord. Oh God, give us the words that we need, oh Lord. Give us the strength that we need, oh Lord. And use this service, oh Lord, even to turn around the things that need to be turned around. Oh Lord, the obstacles that are in the way. Oh God, anything, oh Lord, that is of a hindrance. Oh Lord, anything that is not of Thy will. Oh God, I pray that you lead and guide and show us, talk to our hearts. Oh God, stir us, Lord. Get us to that place we need to be in you, Lord. And turn around those, oh Lord, that are in desperate straits and in great need of you, Lord. Oh Lord, and even headed for hell. Oh God, in Jesus' name we ask and praise thee, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. I really do marvel at so many things. I know the Lord started giving me this message last night and in some days before, and I kept on thinking, it's not the 8th, is it? But it is the 8th of June, and the title of this message is Pastors According to Mine Heart. Pastors According to Mine Heart. And praise the Lord, I'm so glad those several years ago Lord put Beaver Dam upon our hearts, and here we were. But the Lord orchestrated all of that, and you know, you never know what he's going to do and how he's going to do. And I guess at that time we were supposedly missionaries here to this city, and of course we were in the United Pentecostal organization at that point, and I guess we didn't know at all at that moment that down the road we would not be in that organization, and the Lord would show us many things, and oh God, he would lead us in just a complete another path, and oh, he'd give us, you know, a ministry online, and oh, ministry to many people around the world, and I just thank God. You just never know what God is going to do, but he's a wonderful God, and he does know how to orchestrate our lives and how to lead us, how to bring us to that place we need to be, and all we can do is give him the glory and the praise and thank him now and forevermore. Amen. You know, our worship isn't going to be just for these moments. I believe we're going to be all together there in those heavenly places, in that heavenly place with our Lord, worshiping him and praising him and adoring him. I know that those praises are going to continue throughout all eternity. Amen. Praise the Lord. So pastors according to mine heart. Praise the Lord. I know we live in a world today it seems like the world is in a terrible strait, really. And I know those of you who talk to me know how frustrated I get from time to time, because I see a great mission out there. I know from the people I've talked to here and there and all around the world even that, you know, there's great vacancies, there's great needs, there's people out there that are scattered and fainting, sheep without a shepherd, just as Jesus saw them and had compassion on the people when he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his field. Oh yes, he said that. He said that. He could see it then. He could see the vacancies. He could see the need. He could feel that, you know, in such a way, and so much right now where so much is false. Oh, so much is vain. So much is according to man's philosophies. And here we are in this kind of world where there's a joining together of religions, not only just so-called Christian religions, which is phony, but also religions of the world, and you know, this will never work. It's not the way of the Lord by any means, but you know, that's what we are up against in this world that we live in right now. But thank God, he still has people. He still has the people, and somehow he knows how to send out laborers into those fields that are in desperate need, those desperate fields that have vacancies. I know he hears the cries of crying people who don't know what to do and have nobody to direct them, Ethiopian eunuchs, so-called, that, you know, have a hunger for the Word of God, but who's to tell? Who's to lead? How can they hear without a pastor? How can they preach except they be sent? Oh, the need is great in this world. And so it has been from evermore, because I'll tell you what, that tendency seems to be a tendency that rather than truth, lies prevail. It just seems like truth is trampled. It's stomped on, you know, and it's not loved. It's not esteemed like it needs to be. But so it's been for a long, long time. And you know, as there are false prophets, false pastors, false priests all over the place, standing in the pulpits, declaring things in mega churches. Oh yes, on television, all over the place. Oh yes, so were there such in the days of old. And oh my, we can take it to heart, yet God knows who are His, those that are His. He knows that. But He did say, let everyone depart from iniquity. Amen. That is His cry. Everyone that is His has that need to depart from iniquity, for sin doesn't enter heaven. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter here, for a wee bit, and see it as Jeremiah proclaimed it here, the days of old. And of course, his great burden was for Jerusalem and Judah. You know, they were in great straits, and he saw a world that must have been very much like the world that we live in right now. He saw apostasy, he saw false priests and prophets and pastors, you know, declaring what they said from their hearts, but totally deceiving the people. And, you know, he saw that, and he would proclaim truth to them, and they wouldn't listen. Oh, and they do all manner of persecution to him, and instead, and you know, reject him, and talk about him, and, you know, all of that. Oh, nothing, you know, just put him in the dungeon, you know, just all of that, you know. Just get rid of this Jeremiah. He's, you know, they didn't like what he said, but he was telling the truth. And he was sent by God and used of God. And so it is, you know, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Amen. So here, Jeremiah 6, verse 13, he is saying, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. And he said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Oh my, they were not in a good way. They had rejected the true God of Israel. Were living their own abominable ways and in their lies. Oh yes. Let's go also to Jeremiah 23. And again, here this prophet, this man of God, is declaring, oh, what he saw and what the Lord gave him to say. And he begins this chapter by saying, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. Of course, there's more that we could read here, but I'm going to go down to, it's very heavy here with Jeremiah. His heart is broken because of the prophets. It's hard for him to bear what he's seeing in front of him. And you know, we live in a condition like that right now. The things that you read, it's not beautiful to see and understand. You know, if a certain individual is elected as president of the United States, almost for sure, we're in greater trouble than we even are now. I mean, she is an evil, wicked woman. And I'll tell you what, she doesn't have good in her heart by any means. But we're in trouble. And it's time to cry out. It's time to everyone to get down on their knees and turn to God and beg, beseeching Him for mercy. Because we are in trouble. And Jeremiah could see it too. Verse 9, mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord, because of the words of His holiness. Oh, he could feel that impact, what sin had done to that world in which he lived. And he could feel that impending judgment that was upon the face of that land. He says, for the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. Oh yes, there's consequences to sin, I'll tell you what. And I believe right now there's a land that is mourning. Oh yes, there's a wilderness that's dried up. The course is evil, the force is not right. He says in verse 11, for both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Oh yes, he could feel this oppression. And both prophet and priest, wicked, unholy, defiled, debased. You know, I just brought those offices down to disgrace in the rebellion and sinful ways that they were living. I remember just a few years ago, well, it's actually quite a few years ago now, really, had a brother-in-law, and actually he lived in Appleton. We lived in Appleton at that point, too, and so once in a while we would see him, and, you know, we tried to, you know, talk to him about the Lord as we could, but he was really something. You know, his face was almost always red. He almost always had a six-pack, and I'll tell you what, he liked the Lutheran pastor because that man would go drinking with him. And he just thought that was so neat that, you know, this so-called man of the cloth would also have a beer with him. And, you know, I just, of course, that was horrible to hear and, you know, terrible. But, you know, that's how he thought. But so it was, both prophet and priest are profane. They're defiled, they're unholy, they're debased. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. And yes, oh Lord, the Lord sees it all, doesn't he? Oh yes, he sees it all, and it catches up with people. They can live that way, yeah, but it's going to catch up with them. There's going to be a judgment day, and they will be judged. Wherefore their ways shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. Oh man, he was seeing all these things, you know. And what a vexation it was to his spirit. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They don't preach against sin. So how is anybody to know what's right and what's wrong? And that's the world that we live in right now, that none doth return from his wickedness. If it's not preached from the pulpits, how are people going to know? They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Oh, yes, and as he judged Sodom and Gomorrah, he will judge this world. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth unto all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They just say what they want to mutter out of their own hearts and call it the word of the Lord. They still say unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Yeah, you can live in your sin. Well, you know, compare yourself to everybody else. You know, just relax. Don't worry, you know. God is love. You know, he's not going to smite you because you tell lies. You know, he's you know, you're not going to be cast out of heaven. Well, after all, you know, nobody's perfect. Oh, all the excuses that people give, but God has a straight line that he expects people to walk. Oh yes, and that we are to enter in at the straight way. All right, it tells us many shall say, they shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. Oh yes, many shall say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we not cast out devils? In thy name have we not done many wonderful works? And he's going to say unto them, I never knew you, ye workers of iniquity. I'll tell you what, you can't live in iniquity. You can't live in sin and expect to enter into heaven. No way. But here they were saying it back then, you know. Oh, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, doing their own thing, living the way they want to live, no evil shall come upon you. See, it doesn't matter, does it? Oh, I'll tell you what, God says otherwise. That's right. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury. Oh, this is God coming back in revenge, in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Oh, yes. It's not being ignored. Oh, God sees and knows it all. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days he shall consider it perfectly. And oh, I'll tell you what, I have not sent those prophets, or I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But here is something, oh, that strikes my heart. I tell you what, listen to this, verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Oh, my. To just have, you know, to hear this, you know, if they would have stood in that pulpit and declared the words of the Lord, they would have come out against sin and taught the doctrine of the Word of God. It tells us here that people would have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Oh, it's a serious, serious thing here. We've got a serious conflict. You know, you can't just say sweet words to make people happy. That's not going to do any good in the end. It's just going to send them to hell. And I don't know, I wouldn't want to be that one who preached those sweet words. Oh my, that individual's going to be judged. Oh, I don't know, double, triple? I don't know, more than that? Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? I mean, you know, don't you think I see everything, and you know, no matter if it's close at hand or if it's far off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Oh man, it's really something when you forsake God and don't even know his name. Forgotten him for Baal. The prophet that hath the dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Oh yes, that chaff is going to fall one day. Oh yes, it's not going to stand. And he says in verse 29, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces? Oh, there's a result when that true word of God is preached again and again. Again, it may take a lot of hammering to break those pieces, those rocks in pieces. Oh my, it might take a lot of that. But that's his word if it's faithfully preached and given so that people can turn from their evil ways. Oh, praise the Lord. But God's revenge is coming. God's day of wrath is coming. Oh, and it's even at the door at this very moment. But yet God did have a promise for his people. If we could also turn to Jeremiah, the third chapter. He did have a promise to those that feared him. If you look at verse 14, Jeremiah 3, verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord. For I married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. A promise here. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. No, we don't need a temple at this point. We don't need an ark of the covenant to represent the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord, because we live in this wonderful period, this wonderful dispensation of grace when he sent forth his spirit. Oh, that he put his spirit, his very presence within our very inner being, that we could be filled with the Holy Ghost. That, oh, we wouldn't have to seek out a place to find his presence, but that he would be in his people and we would be his sons and daughters. We don't have to remember the Ark of the Covenant. We don't have to seek out that cloud just to find his presence. But he's in his people. He comes to rest in us. He comes to change us. He comes to lead us and to guide us and to show us things to come. Oh yes, to give us that strength, that ability that we need to live against the things of this world, to live against sin, to stand up for that which is right. And it says, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil hearts. Oh yes, because God was going to enter in. Oh yes, he was going to come down and fill them with the Holy Ghost, as he did on the day of Pentecost there in Jerusalem, where all the nations were gathered together there for that feast of Pentecost. And what a change. Oh yes, that change where you no longer want to walk after the imagination of the evil heart. But he puts a desire in us to be like Jesus. He puts that desire within us where we hate sin and we despise it, we loathe it. We don't want anything to do with that old world and the ways of the world. And oh, praise the Lord, we preach against sin, don't we? Amen. Because that is the way that the Lord would declare it. Oh yes, he would have his people to live above sin. And praise the Lord, by the grace of God, we can do so. Praise the Lord. God's wonderful promise that he would He would bring forth pastors according to his own heart. Pastors that would feed with knowledge and understanding. What a beautiful thing. If we go to Ephesians now, the fourth chapter, I believe I'd like to direct you to God's particular way as far as how he would lead his people and how he would give them pastors after his own heart. Again, I know it's a great burden at this time because I don't know too many pastors that really walk after the ways of the Lord, that really teach truth and that really esteem doctrine. But let's give it here some thought. Let's just see what the Lord will do here. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 11. This is God's way. This is God's plan. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this is what he wants us to grow. He wants us to know and understand the ways of the Lord. He wants us to grow unto perfection so that we can come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And he explains in verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Oh yes, the Lord puts us together in a body, together that we might all be joined together. We all might have our own particular aspect, our own particular job to do for the work of God. And that we could do it together. That, you know, granted, if I'm a foot, somebody else could be a hand. And, you know, somebody else could be a head and so on. But he puts it all together. But he would not have us to be no more children. Oh yes, we come to the Lord as babes in Christ. There's so much to grow, but he would have us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He would have us to come to maturity, to perfection. He doesn't want us tossed to and fro and, you know, believing this and that and having all kinds of confusion and carried about with every wind of doctrine, which is out there. Oh yes, every wind of doctrine, you know, you think you've heard it all and then you hear something else and you just can't believe it. But, you know, it's just one thing after the other. And you can hardly find anybody who really esteems doctrine according to the Word of God. But here, that's why he wants us, he set forth people that were called of him. Apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teaching. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, so we might grow in him, so we might know knowledge, truth from the Word of God, that he might put it all together, that we might have unity together in faith and a knowledge of the Son of God, getting to know Jesus and his ways to be established in his truth, so one day we could stand before him and have something to give him back. No more children, just tossed to and fro, you know, carried about with every sleight of, you know, every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man, all of that. No, he wants us to have some maturity. And I'll tell you what, it says speaking the truth in love. You know, he puts it all within us that we may grow up into him in all things, which is ahead, even Christ. Puts it all together. You know, Jude wrote in his epistle that he had a need to write of the common salvation, the common salvation. Even in his time, Jude was feeling that burden. And his burden was that there was a need, a great need, to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I'll tell you what, that's it today too. That need to contend, to fight for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. It's in the book, the church, in the book of Acts, of which we are a part, and we continue in the doctrine that was once established. And you know, there's not all kinds of varieties and wings and you know, just all kinds of winds all over the place, you know, just one way for them and another way for those people. It's not that way at all. It tells us clearly in the first part of Ephesians 4, there's one body and one spirit, even as we are called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Tell you what, that's the way it is. There shouldn't be confusion. But we are to speak the truth in love. And I'll tell you what, there was some clarity that was given also as Paul was exhorting Timothy in his epistles. We go to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. We can read what Paul exhorted Timothy here. There was a need then to be true to the gospel of Christ, to the doctrines that were once brought forth, that wonderful faith that was initially given to us by our Lord. Here in 1 Timothy 4, verse 11, "These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." Verse 16, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Oh, I tell you what, that word doctrine isn't much esteemed. A lot of people don't think you need it at all. But here, Paul was telling Timothy, until he came, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I'll tell you what, there's no other way. You know, doctrine does matter. Doctrine does count. And there's not a varieties of things. It just doesn't depend on how you cross your T or dot your I. It's established in the Word of God. It's not up to debate and man's interpretation. None of that. Let's also go to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and look at this for a moment. Verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." I think that's where we are in time. Oh, there's those that would much rather believe what they want to believe They have itchy ears, you know. They just want to believe according to their own lusts. And so therefore, they do not endure sound doctrine. But instead, they keep to themselves teachers after their own lusts. People that will tell it the way they want to teach or the way they want to hear it. You know, their ears are tickled, in other words. You know, don't preach too hard. Don't come against sin. Don't tell me this. Don't tell me that. You know? But they turned their ears away from the truth and instead turned unto fables. I'll tell you what. There's a brief outline of the doctrine of Jesus Christ in Hebrews the 6th chapter. We just want to read it briefly here. Hebrews the 6th chapter, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. And here he lists it. And, you know, at this point, you know, he was hoping that they could go beyond it, because these are the things that should be very fundamental. These are the basics of the doctrine of Christ. And at that point, he was hoping with the people he was teaching here in the book of Hebrews that, you know, he could go beyond this, that he could teach them stronger things. But you know what? These days, I don't think hardly anybody understands even these fundamental principles. I don't think they do. But here they are, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Repentance, yeah. How often is that preached? Repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. All we know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's just basic. And of the doctrine of baptisms. Oh yes, the baptism in water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we go down into the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh yes, when he fills us with his Spirit and we speak in tongues. Yes, as the Spirit of God comes into our lives. Those are the doctrines of baptism and of laying on of hands. Yes, that basic doctrine, to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, to lay hands, to anoint, and on the presbytery, as was earlier mentioned here with Timothy, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. These few things are mentioned here as basic principles of the doctrine of Christ. And of course, we could go on and elaborate for a long length of time, which I don't think I could do tonight, but these are basics. And again, Paul was hoping that they could go beyond this and teach other things, because those things should already, the foundation should already be there. It should be established. But I guarantee you can hardly go to a church these days that really teaches the doctrines of Christ, the doctrine of Christ, the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let's get it right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But that's our world today, a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Praise the Lord. Okay, there's a couple other things that I just want to bring out here tonight. I know if we turn briefly to 1 Corinthians, we realize that it takes the preaching of the cross to save them that are without God. It takes that the foolishness of preaching, as it tells us here in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And then the question is asked, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Oh, they think they know so much. But God sees it as foolishness. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Oh, by their own intellect, they don't find God. Not by any means. That is not how you find God. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And you know, Paul said that his speech and his preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom. He says that in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. But it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's how he came. That's how he preached it. Wasn't with his own intellect or with his own wisdom, but it was in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. And oh, you go on. That's a beautiful chapter. But also turning here to Romans, the 10th chapter. The need for faithful preaching, for true preachers of the gospel. Oh, there is a need. Verse 14, Romans 10. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh yes, there is a need for them to hear by the foolishness of preaching. I think of the Ethiopian eunuch in that 8th chapter of Acts. You know, there he was. He had been in Jerusalem. One of the events there, and here he was coming back, and obviously he was a proselyte, and there was a hunger in his heart, and there he was, you know, with his scroll, opening up and reading Isaiah 53, and how beautiful it was when God sent Philip to him. You know, Philip came, you know, the Lord sent him there precisely for that cause, for that moment, and Philip was able to join himself to the chariot. Oh, yes, says the Lord, let him there. And he was reading from Isaiah 53, and you know, the eunuch asked, he said, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? He had no knowledge, no way of knowing. And praise the Lord, Philip could open up his mouth and begin at that same scripture and preach unto him Jesus. What a wonderful thing. And you know, he went on there in that chariot, and they came to a certain place there in the desert. They were in the desert, and they came to a certain place where there was water. And the eunuch at that point said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He could see, he could understand. God had opened up his heart, and he could perceive the things that Philip taught him there and explained to him. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, praise the Lord. He could see and understand that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. God manifested in the flesh, who'd come into this world to save us from our sin. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And I have a feeling there was revival in Ethiopia because of what God had done. Oh, I'm sure that none of that went to vain, but I believe that there were many that knew and understand and received the glorious gospel and the doctrines that were established in the Word of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Praise the Lord. But what a wonderful thing it is to be in a place where you can hear preaching that is truly from the Word of God. You go to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. It will tell us how to esteem those that preach the Word of God. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Here it says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Very interesting verse. It says to obey them that have the rule over you, spiritually it's talking about here, and submit yourselves, because a pastor is a watchman. He's watching for your soul. And it's up to you to listen and to give heed. And you must do that if it is the true word of God. Because obviously from this scripture, there's going to be an accounting time. That shepherd, that pastor is going to have to give an account. And if he has to do it with grief and say, "I said this, but they didn't listen. I preached that, but they didn't listen. They walked out. Their hearts were hard. They went and did contrary." That's going to be grief. And it's going to be totally unprofitable for that individual if they did not obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. There's a watching for the souls. There's an accountability that isn't very often talked about. But there it tells us in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 17. And continuing here tonight, we go to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Just want to read a few verses here too. We look at verse 11, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Maybe just a few words here, but I think they speak loud and clear. The need to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, build you up, preach and teach, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. There's one more place I want to go to tonight, and I was thinking about this portion of scripture, and I can't say I really want to go here, but I'll tell you what, while I was thinking about it, paging through my Bible, I turn to this very chapter. So it's Numbers, the 16th chapter. We could go there, please. And here, of course, we had an insurrection here. We had a conspiracy, it seems to me. I marvel at Moses, because he was considered very meek man. But oh my, not too many like this Moses. You know, this man who chose not to esteem the riches of Egypt, but rather to suffer with the children of God. He left old Egypt. I mean, he was a man of esteem in Egypt. He was the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And I believe he had a high rank. I believe he had some prestige and very well learned in the ways of the Egyptians. But God called him. God got a hold of his heart. And wow, what a job he had and how they came against him. Here again in Numbers 16, we find out another insurrection here. Here it tells us, verse 1, "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Okay, they're coming up, they're rising up against Moses. And it says in verse 3, they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. Oh, they you know, they're saying we're all on the same level. We've all been called to God. We're all out of here. And you guys, you're taking too much on yourself. You're esteeming too much power and authority. And obviously they were sick of it. So they thought. And here it is. I mean, it was, you know, you have Korah and you have Dathan and Abiram and you know, 250 of the princes. Like it says, famous in the congregation, men of renown. Here they are. It tells us in verse 4, when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. And he spake unto Korah and said unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen, will he cause to come near unto him. And he said, this do, take ye censers, Korah, and all his company. Put fire there and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. Oh, my. Yes, there was going to be a showdown. Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray ye, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? Yes, the sons of Levi had been dedicated to do the things of the tabernacle, to take care of the ministering and all those things that needed to be done. They were to be taken care of in a special way. They didn't have a tribe among themselves, but they had their special designated places where they were to be, and their needs were to be taken care of. And verse 10 tells us, and he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. Oh, yes, they had a snooty, uprising here. A lot of pride. Not a rebellion. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? So then it tells us in verse 12, Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come. So he had been addressing Korah there, these few verses previously, and now he called the other rebels, Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, we will not come. They were openly rebelling. And so, verse 13 says, is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except that thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? They're complaining, open rebellion here about what God had done. God had assigned Moses to lead them out of the land of Egypt. And then they further say in verse 14, moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Without put out the eyes of these men, we will not come up. There was an open insurrection here. They were refusing to show that respect that was due Moses at that moment. And it tells us Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And so Moses said unto Korah, be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. Take every man his censer and put incense in it, in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. So every man took his censer, put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And not only had Korah done all that dirty work already, but it tells us in verse 19 that he gathered all the congregation against him unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. He gathered all the people there. The glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Oh, this isn't the first time God said that. But obviously, Aaron and Moses fell on their faces and said, oh God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? They interceded for those wicked people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get ye up from above the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So the people went away. They get up from the tabernacle, and they left Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And there's Dathan and Abiram. They came out, and they stood in the door of their tents, their wives, their sons, their little children. And God was going to do a work to prove this esteem that he had for his servant Moses and for Aaron. Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. No, it was God who had called them. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And I'll tell you what, he no sooner spoke it seems. It came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense, those princes that had declared and opposed Moses, that had showed that opposition, that came against Moses and Aaron and said that they had taken too much upon themselves. Oh, I'll tell you what, God's ways are not our ways. And you know, there's a right spirit and there's a wrong spirit. Things that do need to be done decently and in order. And you know, regardless of what people may think and the rebellion in hearts and you know, the fact that people would rather have their ears tickled with pleasant things and hear the true word of God and know the true doctrines of God's word. I tell you what, God still judges righteously, and he has an esteem for his servants, those that truly follow after him, truly who have a heart after him. I'll tell you what, this is just a little taste of God's wrath and God's judgment. When things are not done appropriately, when men and women do not fear the ways of God and the concepts of God, the esteem that God has for those that minister the gospel. And no wonder Hebrews 13 verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they might do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. That's the word of God. That's the word of God as he declared it. And as he said, you know, that beautiful promise. Oh, yes, in the midst of apostasy. Oh, in the midst of all the lying prophets and priests and those that just stand up for what they want or in it just for the money or for the esteem or whatever all that is not of God. In spite of that, God did declare again in Jeremiah the 3rd chapter, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And I think that's beautiful. It's a beautiful promise that the Lord has given. And I can just sense, I've spoken of this so many times, that cry that our Lord Jesus had, you know, when he was on earth and ministering to the people, going to the 9th chapter of Matthew, in closing here, it tells us, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, this is verse 35, Matthew 9, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And that's a cry that goes out tonight. That's a cry. There's a need in this world. Oh yes, for hearts that have been broken, hearts that have been surrendered to the heart of God, to the heartbeat of God, people that aren't in the pulpit for power or from wealth or for gain or, you know, just or to feel good or whatever all, but are there because God called them. God put them in that pulpit. God sent them, and it's in their heart to declare the truth. It's in their heart to stand up for the doctrines, the word of God that was once established, that was once presented, that word of God, that faith that we are to contend for, that faith that was once delivered to the saints. Oh, yes, there is a need. There is a cry. Oh, yes, as our Lord was moved with compassion, so there is a need tonight, so much that he asked us to pray that the Lord of harvest would send forth laborers into his harvest. That's the need. Yes, that's a need. For how shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's the word of God, Romans the 10th chapter. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, praise the Lord, the wonderful word of God, the doctrines of God's word that save us from sin if we continue in them. Oh, yes, that bring deliverance. That set the captive free and bring deliverance to them that are bound. Oh, yes, that take us out of the paws of the enemy. Deliver us from the hands of the devil himself. Oh, and give us hope. Oh, yes, an eternal hope in the Lord Jesus. That we might, oh, one day stand before him. For that day is coming, is it not? We must give an account of the things that were done in the flesh. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things that were done in the flesh. But let's give heed to the word of God. Let's stand for truth. Oh, let's love the truth and sell it not. Oh, yes, because it will pay eternal dividends, but so much the otherwise if we do not give heed. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, God. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We love you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, it seems like a good night to sing number 78 in the chorus book, Keep on Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Yes, keep on walking by faith. I know you won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. And you're dismissed under prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.